Welcome to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Tonight's show is presented by Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Now, from the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River, it's the Investors Bank High School Football Show on News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
And on this final Thursday of October, we welcome you in to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network and, of course, live at Baker's Water Street Grill in downtown Toms River. Kevin Williams and Ed Sarluka tonight, as our colleague Matt Harmon is on special assignment, watching his son play in the semifinals of the Shore Conference Soccer Tournament.
It's nice that you gave him the night off to do that. Always good to be with your family.
That's right. One of those moments you can't miss. So we wish Matt and the Wall Crimson Knights, they should be taking the field any minute.
Danny Frisch Harmon, who scored a goal the other night.
Yes, he did.
Quarterfinals. Big goal.
Wall playing surprising St. John Vianney in the semifinals a little while. Friel Township won the first semifinal, beating Manalapan. But
That's soccer.
That's football in another part of the country.
There you go.
We talk football here, and we've got a good one for you tonight as our featured programs in the house at the Water Street Grill are Point Pleasant Beach and Long Branch. Looking forward to that. Shortly, we'll be joined by head coach John Wagner and his outstanding senior quarterback Jake Fioretti from Point Beach, and a little bit later in the hour, we go Green Wave of Long Branch. Their veteran coach, Dan George, joins us, along with his just tremendous senior running back, Damir Willis, who is just putting up some staggering numbers. A little bit later on, of course, Scott Stump, his take on Shore Conference football. We'll talk with Monmouth University head coach Kevin Callahan, the Hawks with their Big South home opener this Saturday. But plenty of time for that. Before we get to that, Ed, we look at last weekend, and let's start with a congratulations to the longtime football coach at Lacey High School, who finally, not that he wanted to talk about it, but finally got that elusive 264th career win.
Yeah, Lou Versillo, of course, took him 12 games. He had lost 11 straight since he had tied Vic Cabu at that number of 263, but his 264th came in a shutout victory. What was it? 28-0. And congratulations to Lou. He's been at it a long time. He started at Red Bank, came over as the only coach Lacey has ever had, and glad to get that so-called elephant off his back.
Yeah, he didn't really want to talk about it much over the last couple of weeks, but 264 wins, quite a milestone. And how about this? 100 behind the legendary Warren Wolf.
Yeah, of course, and a year from now, nobody's going to know that it took him 11 games to get there.
No.
People are going to know Warren Wolf, Lou Versillo, and
exactly.
Vic Cabu, the top three, and nobody's going to know that it took them a while. And, hey, you have good teams, you have bad teams. Lacey hasn't had any bad teams.
No, this
you
is,
know, this is a down year for Lacey. They're rebuilding, and one of the only years ever in Lou's long career that he has, you know, had probably a losing season.
Yep, but congratulations to the Lions for getting that elusive win, and as you said, getting Lou to that milestone. All right, of course, the game last week that everyone hyped. A week ago, we were talking so much about this game. Manalapan, Red Bank Catholic, 1-2. Two long winning streaks and all of that, and really not much of a game. Like it's been any time we thought that RBC could get challenged, it turned out to be, for the most part, a stroll in the park for the Caseys, who rolled to a 35-7 victory.
Yeah, a whole lot of it. Quarterback Eddie Hahn and, Lou Bashir, the receiver, put the game away early in the first quarter, and Manalapan unable to mount their vaulted ground attack. Held Mayfield to, I think it was 80 yards or so. Kind of surprised. I thought Manalapan would hang with them defensively and, of course, offensively, but RBC has proved that they will be on challenge this year in the Shore. Their competition will come from some of the parochial powers up north.
Obviously, we'll save the Long Branch Mattawan game for when we talk Green Wave football with Danny George a bit later on. The game we did last Friday night turned out to be a very entertaining game. Jackson Memorial holding off Toms River South 37-27. A lot of fireworks in that game, and really it was a very exciting game for us to broadcast. It was our Jersey Mike's game of the week, and it was a thriller.
Another case of the Indians' defense letting them down. Their problem has not been offensively. Their problem has been defensively. They just give up too many yards and too many points, and sometimes the offense has a difficult time coming back. Unbelievably, in Class A South, they are 2-3, and overall 3-3. If you told me that after six games, you know, South would be 3-3 at the beginning of the season, I would have thought you were crazy. I thought they had a better team than that. But it just goes to show you the ability of just about every team in A South. You know, just tough division up and down.
And Toms River South, which came so close last year to playing for a state sectional title, Ed, will really have to scramble to even get into the playoffs this year.
You know, it's a crazy system that the state has. We've said it so many times, but Toms River South, maybe with four wins, possibly, they're 3-3 right now. If they could get one more win, possibly still may not make the South Jersey Group 4 pitcher, but a team like Lacey could get in with maybe two wins.
Yeah.
It's just a crazy system.
Anything else from last weekend stand out for you?
Well, the Middletown South Brick Memorial game, a game in which Memorial had in hand. They had played very well. Tim Santiago had played very well. They ran the ball on Middletown South, which not many teams have done this year. South's defense, very good. 10-point lead with under 2 minutes to go. South scores. Three and out for Memorial. Middletown South uses their timeouts. Not a good punt. Take over on the 40-yard line, a couple of first downs, set up a last-second field goal. They win it by a field goal in regulation time by three.
We're coming up now week eight of the season, whatever you want to call it. It is the final weekend of October. Actually, this weekend will transfer right into November.
Mm-hmm.
But interesting, tomorrow night, a typical traditional big Friday night schedule on Halloween night.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of ghouls out tomorrow night, okay? I'm sure we're going to see quite a few of them at Toms River North in our Brick Toms River North game, which, you know, on paper looks like a pretty good football game. You know, I think North can provide Brick with a, you know, very difficult challenge.
Brick, of course, with a win would clinch at least a tie for the A South championship, so Toms River North standing in their way of, you know, trying to accomplish one of their preseason goals.
Yeah, we're getting into a situation now where teams are starting to clinch ties, clinch division
yep.
championships. And then, of course, in 2 weeks will be the cutoff for the states. And then we'll know our brackets by that Sunday, probably November 8th, about November 9th. The brackets will be out. And then we go from there with the first round of the playoffs, the 14th, and then semifinals the 21st. Finals, first week in December.
That weekend. Is the second season, but we're still in the first season. And by the way, Brick at Toms River North tomorrow night is our Jersey Mike's game of the week, broadcast right here on 1160 and 1310 and ShoreSportsNetwork.com. 7 o'clock kickoff. That should be a good one. What we'll do, and by the way, as we come back and we talk Point Beach football, maybe the as big a game as there is this weekend is what's turned out to be the annual championship game matchup between Point Beach and Shore Regional. We'll talk about that and much more after this timeout. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show at the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
Well, as I walked in tonight with Point Pleasant Beach coach John Wagner, I said, well, if we have you on the show at the end of October, means things are going pretty well because it's meaningful football time. And we're joined tonight by the head coach at Point Beach, John Wagner, and his outstanding senior quarterback, who seems like he's been there for about 10 years, Jake Fioretti. Guys, thanks so much for joining us. Jake, what'd you have to eat for dinner tonight? How was it?
Burger.
All right.
Bacon blue cheeseburger. It was good.
All right. Yeah, good to hear that. That's important. Okay.
That'll make the boss. The boss is actually in the house.
Yeah, the boss is here tonight. Yeah.
Yeah, the boss. The guy runs the whole show.
He'll be glad to hear that. John, welcome aboard. Always good to see you.
Thanks for having us. Always great to talk about beach football.
Yeah, sure is. And there's been a lot of good things to talk about in your four seasons at the helm after a long stint at Roselle Park. And, you know, you're getting ready for this game tomorrow night at Shore, and it just seems like, for almost the tenure you've been at Point Beach, it always comes down to late in the season, Point Beach Shore for a division title, and here we go again.
Well, as long as we're included in the show, I'm very happy with that, and it just worked out that way again this year. Shore is a typical Shore team, you know, great on all three phases of the game. Kaz does a great job. Their kids buy into everything they do. And, again, I've been blessed to be here and have a bunch of great kids that really understand what it takes now to get it done. And we're in a great position again to have another opportunity.
You know, they say to have a rivalry, you know, one team can't win all the time. And you guys have had some great Donnybrooks over the last few years. They got you last year for the division title. Well, you know, people are still talking about 8 days later after losing 31-0. You beat him at TCNJ for a state sectional championship. It really has become a pretty darn good rivalry.
It's a great B Central game, and like I said, we're excited to be in it. And Asbury and Keyport's on their way back. They had a bunch of good young kids this year, and obviously Modern Day's doing some great things. So it'll be good back and forth. Like I said, as long as Beach is included in the conversation, I'll be very happy. Jake, you know, there's not many quarterbacks, on no matter what level, Group 1 or Group 5, that can say they've been a starter for 4 years. You're one of those kids. I want to know about your maturity from your freshman year to now being the leader, full-time leader, your senior year.
Well, I think I came a long way from, like, I played in all the games, like, sophomore year, like, the heartbreaker game, till junior year, win the state championship, and now just trying to grind out another B Central championship. And also being a leader last year helped me out a lot. And being voted to get a captain again this year was pretty special.
Coach, a few words on Jake and that maturity, because you've been there all four of those years.
Right.
Like I said, you know, as a coach, you get blessed with certain kids that give you what you need on the field. Jake's truly a captain on the field for us, but he's also a coach. I was fortunate to have Quinn Kuzma and then Sean Strunches, but Jake's always kind of learned from them, and now he's kind of taken full control of it. He'll straighten me out if I call a wrong formation. He'll give me ideas on what's going on. And again, it's nice to be able to talk to somebody that's standing right in the middle of the action and somebody you can trust. And that's something that, you know, sometimes you're fortunate just to walk into, and I think I walked into a great situation.
The name Fioretti carries a lot of weight in Point Pleasant Beach. Of course, you know, your dad and your grandfather was the longtime coach and athletic director there, and you play on his field.
Right.
What's that like to know that you know, the field that you play on was where your grandfather, you know, coached and was a part of for so many years?
It's definitely a really cool feeling just walking out, touching his rock before every game, and just, like, the transformation of beach football to where it is now. Like, he would have been happy to see that, and just my brother, my cousin come up and playing. Yeah, but it's definitely a special feeling every Friday night.
Sure.
John, we didn't really have a chance to talk to you after the state win. By the way, that was the state title for Beach ever, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Last year. But as Kevin said, it started out your interview, coming off of the big loss, what was the mindset going into that championship final?
Well, if you could say the phrase, you laid an egg, we laid an egg that night.
31-0.
We fell behind early, and we didn't get anything going. And then when they came out and scored to start the second half, we just settled in and get through the game. And we thought we learned some things about ourselves especially. And then we just kind of preached everything we had to do all week. Well, it's really no different this year. When you play Shore, you better be ready because they come after you. They're a great defensive team. The kicking game is tremendous. I know Jake's coming back to kick for them this week. And offensively, they get it done. We're very similar in a lot of aspects, but it's just a great B Central game. It's a great opportunity for both schools.
That Jake you refer to is Jake Montero,
yes.
the Shore kicker who's been out for a while, and he does return. And having that kicker is an added weapon.
Absolutely. I mean, he gets the ball into the end zone a lot, and that makes an 80-yard field.
Right?
Yeah. It makes an 80-yard field to start with. That's a great weapon to have. And again, we've been struggling with kickoffs this year, and so we know exactly what that means.
Jake, you had some good skill kids coming back this year. You lost Noah Yates. Yale, right? Did he go to Yale?
He's at Yale.
Basketball player, right?
Football. Playing football.
Oh, is he playing football?
Yep.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
I would have told you that if you would have asked me.
We saw him play both on the football field and then many games of basketball, of course. But anyway.
And baseball's his first love, by the way. That's what's kind of funny about it.
Studying probably is right now.
Absolutely.
But anyway, you had some good skill comes back. Mike Fraunheim, Joe...
We're Griniak,
exactly. I could say it. I remember. Okay. I practiced it enough times when we were doing those championship games. But and, of course, yourself. What's it like having all those good skill kids behind you?
Well, it definitely made it a lot easier for the backs to know all the plays and have, like, that maturity in the backfield. I've been playing with hand the ball to Joe since, like, seventh grade. Mm-hmm. And ever since Mike came here, he's just fit right in with all of us.
Of course, Coach Mike Fraunheim, the grandson of a friend of yours, right?
Pierce. I coached many years against when he was up at Immaculata Park. Had a great experience. His grandkids, they're Fraunheims. It's a great bloodline. I got a Fioretti here, and I got a Fraunheim bloodline. So those are two good bloodlines to have. They know the game. They do a great job with it. They bring the leadership that you need to a game. And there's a young one coming up that's a freshman. That's a cousin. And he's a player. He understands the game, so it's great to have that as part of your program.
Now, while you had those nice skill players back, Jake, you kind of had to rebuild the entire offensive line. And I've always said, and as I've watched football more and more, I think the two places it's hardest to hide are offensive linemen and defensive backs, especially in a passing game. But you had a lot of new faces up front. Are those guys starting to hit their stride a little better now that they're getting more familiar with one another?
Yeah, I think every game they're just getting better and better. And I give them a lot of credit because I know them each personally. That they're very tough kids. They'll go out and do whatever. They'll run through a wall for you, but they're very tough kids. I give them a lot of credit.
Give us a few of the names of those guys up front through all the dirty
Cade
work.
Watkins at center. He's a sophomore. Kevin Berry at left guard. He's a junior. He played a little last year at the end. Forrest Garner. He's returning. He played center last year. He's now moved to right tackle. Jake Dorenzo, he's a little tough guy at right guard, but he'll come up and hit you. And left tackle, we got John Wagner. He's a tough kid. He's got a good body.
All right.
You could snap those names off. That's got to make any coach happy when you can name those offensive hogs up front. Right, Coach?
Absolutely. like I said, we put a lot on those kids this year. We're very young up front. But to say that you're young, we're now into week 8. We've had 4 scrimmages, so we don't talk about being young anymore. Let's get it going. Let's adjust this week for what we have to do.
Jake, the wing T. You know, when you prepare for a team like Beach, who also runs the wing T, and there's not many schools that still run it, does it look like a mirror?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, when you look at films, you say, hey, we got that play, or we run that play, or we've got to stop that play.
Yeah. We definitely do a lot of the same things, the same plays, but I think both teams run it very well, good coaches, good defenses. So, yeah, we definitely do a lot of the same things, though.
Hey, you get Joe back this week. He's missed a couple games. What's it going to be like having him back there?
I think he's going to help us a lot. He's a big part of our backfield. Runs hard a lot, makes big-time plays, and we're definitely thankful that he's back.
John, what has happened? You came here 4 years ago and, of course, had an outstanding resume, a lot of success at Roselle Park. And I know we've had John in the past and we've talked about it, but, it's sort of, I don't want to say unprecedented success for Point Beach, but this has been a pretty darn good run. And obviously, while you won't say it, we know a lot of it has to do with you. But you've kind of got a nice little program going there. And I know you feel like there's some young kids coming through the program in the next couple of years it's going to continue. How does that happen? Is that a thing where winning breeds winning and all of a sudden kids get a taste of it and they like it and they want to be a part of it? Or has it just been a pretty good run of players?
It's a lot of things. High school football, it's very unique. It takes a lot of people to understand it and to buy in. When I first came, there was only 28 kids in the program. This year, we had 57.
Wow.
So that, you know, I'm in the hallways and just trying to get as many kids as we can come out. We were fortunate to have a few freshman games this year, which really hasn't happened at Beach in a while. But the bottom line is, when we came in, the first group of kids really bought in, and it was a blend of kids. So we were able to carry this on and carry it down. Our freshmen, even though they're freshmen, they practice with us every day. They go off into freshman groups for offensive, whatever. But all our drills are done with the young kids, because you never know when you're going to step in. And we've had a couple of young kids have to step in this year. And as you said about the linemen, you can't hide offensive linemen. Either you can do it or you can't. So we've had to just plug in some tough kids there, switch their numbers, and say, "Look, this is what we have to do to win." And they understand that this is what we need to do to be successful. So all the credit goes to them and the coaching staff.
Jake, yesterday we all know that was the two-year anniversary of Hurricane Sandy. No school probably was affected more by that devastating storm than Point Pleasant Beach. Some memories yesterday?
It was actually my birthday yesterday, so it happened on the night of my birthday. Wow. So I'll never forget it, definitely. But I know some of my friends who've graduated just getting back in their houses now, and some haven't even gone back in their houses. So it definitely was a big part of what Point Pleasant Beach is, and definitely never forget it.
And your team meant so much to the community at that time. For I know from knocking on doors and helping people, which I know you guys did for days, to then having such a good season where it became kind of like a rallying point. Right. It gave people something to look forward to.
Yeah, it was really incredible to see how the town came together. And our first game back, we played the first round of the playoffs, and just the whole town was dark around the one football stadium. So that was
against
cool.
Florence, right?
Was it Florence? South River.
South River. South River, then Florence.
Right. Yeah. Oh. You had to mention Florence, right?
Yeah, well.
We did that game.
We
Ed.
Did that game, yeah. That was a devastating injury, of course.
Yeah. All right, John. They can't all be good
that's
memories.
Enough. That's enough. Well, by the way, he has come back really strong, right? I've read his name.
He had a great game at Albright last week.
Albright University.
Yeah, he had 20 carries for 145 yards and two touchdowns.
And mention who that is?
Danny Tye.
Yep. Danny Tye, okay. He did come back from that broken, was it a broken leg or the knee? Yeah, the broken leg.
Yep.
You know, and I so vividly remember working the sidelines of him sitting in that golf cart, refusing to go to the hospital till after the game. You know, when everybody basically knew that the leg was broke. And, you know, I like Kevin said, I don't want to bring back bad memories because that was a loss. But I just remember how the head coach, and refresh my memory for Florence.
Joe Frappello,
how, you know, how into the game he was and how, you know, happy he was that you guys were on the field because, you know, we had told him that this field was underwater, you know. 7 days ago, you know, and how he couldn't believe that game was being played there.
Yeah, it was a great high school football game.
Yeah.
And I know you guys had already had us and Shore plugged in to go into the finals and everything was set.
Yeah,
and then Florence
did.
Comes back and beats us and Shore. So,
I know.
Just goes to show you. Another great program. He does a great job.
Yes,
Joe does a great job.
That line, that's why they play the game, right?
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Why you line up and play. And
predictions are for guys like us in the media because we don't have to put the uniform on.
Yep.
He's right back in the hunt again this year,
yes,
right?
Yes, they are. Lawrence. Yes, they are. Another good program.
Now, you have a tenuous situation in terms of the playoff picture. We'd like to say at this point, well, you know, you're in, you're automatic, everything's good. But it's a little bit of a scramble this year, and you had a couple of losses that have sort of put you a little behind the eight ball. How do you feel your situation is heading into this weekend?
Well, the situation is basically we lost to Middlesex, who right now is the number one seed.
Right.
But I doubt that they'll stay there. They have one game left, and some other teams still have two. And then our situation is we're going to be in because Riverside can't catch us. So, but we don't know where we're going to be. Depends on what happens with Shore and the residuals. That happens with New Egypt and their games and stuff like that. So it gets a little crazy. So there's nine teams right now that are going to be in, but I don't think Riverside, no matter what happens, can catch us. So it's a matter of we 8-7-6-5, whatever. Is Shore one? You know, Shore's got a great shot at being one if they can beat us and beat Asbury next week. So it's, you know, it's going to come down through the 8 weeks.
And
our modern day the game doesn't count.
Right,
year,
it's the ninth
which is
game.
Odd. That's the ninth.
Yeah, it's the
and
first.
A lot of people
eight,
forget that part.
That
yeah.
first eight games
yep.
and you drop one
drop
basically.
One. Right.
The amazing thing is, you could play Shore again in the opening round of the playoffs. I know you're not thinking that way, but it's not impossible, which would be like
deja vu all over again.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. At the beginning of the year, we sign a card saying we want to be in the playoffs. These are the rules. And I tell our kids, and you can ask any one of our kids, I said, I don't worry about the other teams. I worry about us.
Right.
We have to do what we can do, give ourselves the best chance. If we don't play well and don't win a game, that's our fault.
Right.
We got to take care of our own business. And once our points are put in, we can't control who wins the Highland Park, South River game and whatever, and whether we're a fan or not. I do call and I get online, try to find the scores right away. But I've got the point totals already done. And it's a matter of, you can't control certain things.
Right,
so next
right.
week we'll be scouting at four different places. The week after, we'll be at four. It's just the way it goes.
You just want to play every weekend.
Yeah, that's all. As long as you're playing, everything's good.
Right. Jake, we always like to ask young men like yourself, seniors. We're sitting here, a good portion of your season's done. College thoughts, college plans, what you might do. Are you anywhere, your thought process on that?
Yeah, it's definitely looking to play football somewhere. A couple D2, D3 schools like Lycoming, Merrimack. Just looking to play football somewhere.
Want to play somewhere?
Yeah.
Okay. Any idea what you'd major in?
Maybe business management, something
okay.
like that.
All right, sounds good. Yeah. That sounds good.
He'll come back and work on your new salary. John, right?
Eventually. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You talking John or me?
John.
It won't take him long on mine. John Upton.
That's all.
Well, as I said, it has really been a nice run, and we've really enjoyed watching what's happened at Point Beach. Was the few, the proud, the beach.
Right.
One of the smaller group ones in the state for many, many years. I think the numbers are up. The program has built something, and I know... I mean, that moment last year on that field, the TCNJ afterwards, was such a great feeling for your school and your community. I know that's not what you're thinking about now, and like you've said, that was last year, but that's one that will resonate and last a lifetime for some people.
Absolutely, especially obviously for the kids, but the town. I mean, they were so proud. We had a dinner at the end of the year, and there was over 500 people at our dinner.
Wow.
And this year, Jersey Mike's was nice enough. Guys haven't been out there. We have a brand new scoreboard.
Oh, I was going to ask you about the scoreboard.
Yep. And then the Michigan family, former coach Al Michigan, his family donated. So now we actually have the optic yellow stadium goalpost. So the place is cleaned up. Our grounds crew under Mark Maris' tutelage has done a great job fixing the field up. So the place looks spectacular. And, we're excited to play there and have the opportunity to play in front of the home fans.
Yeah, of course, Jersey Mike's is our big partner with our high school football this year. They're great people. I know big part of the community, and I know Mike Manzo, very proud of what happens at Point Beach. Always lobbying for the beach when I talk to him. So it's nice that that's happened. It's been a good run, John. I hope it continues for many, many years.
I think. I know when I came and everybody said, you're nuts. What would you want to go there? I just wanted to have a chance to coach again and come down to shore. And then after the first year, they said, well, that was a fluke. Let's see if you can do it next year. I just want people to look at it and say, hey, how's Point Beach going to be this year? Are they in the hunt again? And that's where we want to be, and that's where we're at right now.
Plus, you look good in red, man. You always do.
I was red and white for 30 years.
30 years, that's right.
So you
got the
color.
So that you got in the wardrobe. John, thanks a lot. Good luck tomorrow night at Shorin for the rest of the season. Always good seeing you. And thanks for bringing this young man with you, Jake. Congratulations on everything. Stay healthy and enjoy the rest of the season.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having us. Thank
from Point Beach, John Wagner and Jake Fee. You ready? We go from red and white to green and white after this timeout. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
Now, back to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
And welcome back. We go from Point Beach to Long Branch. Head up north a bit, but they actually join us here live at the Water Street Bar and Grill. They are the longtime coach of the Green Wave, but still looking quite young, Dan George, in his 16th season with Long Branch, 18th overall, and sitting next to him, to his right and in between me, is a young man who's having a legendary season already, and that is their senior running back, Demir Willis. Gentlemen, first of all, thanks for coming in. Good to see you both. Did you have something to eat?
Yep.
What'd you have?
Chicken penne vodka.
Was it all right?
Yeah, it was good.
So you went right for the good stuff. Good man. Good man.
Yeah, Fioretti had a burger.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
yeah. He went for the penny vodka.
Danny, good start for your guys. You got to be feel pretty good. Long Branch is 6-1. I know you got a big one on Saturday at Neptune, one of your rivals. But it's been a nice run. Lost the opener to Red Bank Catholic, and you're riding pretty high, Coach. 6 in a row.
Thanks, Kevin. We're excited. You know, we were concerned coming into the season with the schedule. When you look at it, we know we're going to be battle tested every single week, and some games were going to be extremely close, and we didn't know where we would be after 7 weeks. And to be 6-1, we couldn't be any more excited.
Well, you know, you got that stretch. We said, "Aren't Red Bank Catholic?" Then I thought, defensively, you had 4 brilliant games in a row. Your defense was outstanding. And then the last couple of weeks, you've had to put points on the board, and you have. And, boy, this guy sitting between us has not hurt, because I know there's a lot of football left, but he is having a season for the ages, Coach.
It's exciting. You know, we have a rich tradition in running backs at Long Branch. And, you know, it's so exciting to have the opportunity to be a part of watching a season like Damir's. You know, he's you know, just when you're not sure if he can do another thing for us, you know, he ends up having that monster game last week against Mattawan, running for 370 yards. And really, you know, that's not a 28-0 football game. Mm. You know, there was 5 or 6 lead changes, and, you know, a Mattawan defense, you know, that was ranked in the top 5 in the Shore last year. And, you know, we were just saying, oh, my goodness, you know, we could struggle for points this week. And Damir just came up with some, you know, one tremendous run after the next.
Ed, before you jump in, let me just throw this out for our listeners. 7 games so this season. He's rushed for 1,800 yards, 6 straight 200-yard games, and 2 300-yard games in there, and 19 touchdowns. Coach, you've been around for a long time. There aren't too many guys who do that.
It's a devastating season. It's off the charts. And, you know, my question to Damir is, okay, you're not a flash in the pan. You ran for almost 700 yards last year, and you had 9 touchdowns. But tell me about the off season. I mean, what did you do to put up these numbers this year?
Off season, I just worked hard, hit the weight room real, real hard. I didn't really run track, but I conditioned and worked out with the track team, so I stayed.
Always the key, isn't it, the weight room, right?
Yep.
In the off season, right, Coach?
No question about it. You know, and I think when you have the opportunity to watch Damir run, strength is a big part of his game. Although he's not a 205-pound running back, but the strength in his hips and his legs and his pad level, you know, give defenders a difficult time in trying to tackle him.
And he also plays defense, right? I mean, is there any thought to, like, he's the franchise. Come on. Is the offensive staff saying, Coach, we got to give this kid a rest on defense? Do we need him back there?
We do, you know. And he's never come off the field defensively since he came in as a sophomore.
Yeah. Yep.
And he feels comfortable. You know, he's only off 2 special teams.
Right.
He's off kickoff, and he's off the punt team. They're the only 2 breaks he kind of gets during the day. And, you know, he enjoys the game of football tremendously well. It's old school. You know, it's our goal with this year was to have an opportunity to make the playoffs. If we felt like if we could be in the playoffs, we could have a shot to do some damage. And we knew our chances with Damir on the field defensively and not on the field, it's a big difference, you know, because he's such a smart football player, which a lot of times you don't see in the numbers.
Well, coming from a defensive guy like I was, I mean, I'm throwing 10 guys in the box, which I'm sure you've seen, Damir. I mean, you've seen 9 and 10 guys in the box saying, hey, we're going to force Jordan Rodriguez to beat us, you know, your quarterback, you know. And so my question to you is, the guys up front, you can't do it alone. Name some of those guys up front that's making it work.
My offensive lineman, yes, definitely. With kids like Joe Jazz, Andrew Huff, Steve Kaloji, Nicholas, and
Cam Hill.
Yep.
There you go.
Yep, yeah, definitely. But those guys up front, it's tremendous. They get it done every game.
All right, now you're not the biggest guy in the world either. Give us how big are you?
I only weigh 165, 170.
5'8", 5'9". 5'9" in the program, 5'8" in real.
Yep.
But he's a good looking. He's a good looking kid, man. He looks like he hasn't even been hit all year.
Thank you.
Well, I'm sure the body doesn't say that, though. You know, I mean, he's been hit quite a few times, Coach. Like I said, you've seen all the gadget defenses. I mean, you know, how important is Jordan Rodriguez to you down the stretch? You know, because somewhere along the line, you're going to need him.
No question about it. You know, we Ocean did some nice things a couple weeks ago, and Jordan was 8-for-11 for 160 yards, you know, which was critical. One, for his confidence. He started the last five games for us last year and unfortunately had an ACL injury surgery. So he didn't get released till the Wednesday of Red Bank Catholic.
Okay.
So there was no preseason.
Right.
There was, you know, he's just kind of starting to feel good, hit his stride, because he's a dual threat kind of kid too. He can run, he can throw. And to have that kind of game, we know, you know, our ultimate goal now, after we look at things, we're 6-1 and we want to be in position to win a state title, you know. And you can't do that without being, without having a dual threat, you know, a pass game as well as a rush game.
Demir, Neptune this week, big rival, right?
Big game. Yep.
Tell me a little bit about Neptune and the preparation this week for them.
Our
new coach there, right?
Yeah. Our team been fired up all week. They hear Neptune, they get fired up. Like, it's always a big game.
Now, you guys are right now the top seed in Central Jersey Group 3. You have a decent chance if you can, you know, win this weekend. That would be your last game before the state cutoff of being a top seed, which means you'd get two home games before a state final. I'm sure that for you, being a senior, playing state playoff games at home would be a thrill, right?
Yeah, that's big. I definitely want to get this win. We get this win, everything will be home. That's amazing. That's great.
You know, not only that, Kevin, you know, but two wins gets them that top seed and gets them turf games, because you got turf at your home field, and then the neutral field will be probably at either Trenton or Kane or Rowan or wherever, also a turf field. Those speed backs love that turf field, don't they, Coach?
Oh, they sure do. We have a grass field, which we practice on, but we also have the stadium turf. And I wanted to make sure sports are starting to wind down a little bit, a lot of the other fall sports. So we are fortunate to be on the turf all week.
Great.
And we actually went to the rec field today just to get on turf, because our freshmen played a home game, you know. So because what they do, you know, is dynamic too offensively. And it's a big difference between, I don't have to tell you, grass and turf. And you want to practice with it, you know. And the other boys that we want to mention up front, because when you watch us, we're a big, we're one of the last of the multiple eye tight ends always in the football game. We even play a lot of snaps with two tight ends. So John Mims was our tight end, who's done a phenomenal job. His brother is Calhoun from Michigan State.
Okay.
So it's been an exciting year for the Green and White.
Sure.
And Mims is, you know, he was out to one of the games this year, and it's neat
Shaquille
stuff.
Shaquille Calhoun from Middletown North, right?
Yep. And so we get all we go back and forth, because I'm an Ohio State guy, you know. So that game's coming down the road, but it's exciting. And also Hunter Bailey and Brandon Lane share that other tight end. So, and that's critical. You said 9-10 guys in the box when you're trying to get a helmet on a helmet. You know what I mean? The two tight ends and the blocking schemes get not easier, but, you know, you have more people there.
Go ahead, Kev.
I was going to say, Demir, is the school excited with the football program? I mean, have you know, kids in the hallway talking to you? I mean, is everyone pretty pumped up over what's happened?
The whole team, the whole school is pumped up. The different players from different sports, like the soccer players, come up to me every day. Yeah, Long Branch football team, this, that. Yeah, everybody in the school is just pumped up. Teachers, everybody.
That's great.
Coach, yeah. I'm going to ask you about that because you've been there forever, okay? The high school has really come a long way. I mean, the gym, fabulous. You know, the school itself is like a palace. Whenever I go there, I'm so impressed. I see something new that I haven't seen before.
It's exciting. Our facilities, you know, I mean, everybody who comes
is
to
impressed.
Long Branch is impressed. I mean, you know, our stadium, I think, is one of the few stadiums in the state of New Jersey that has two scoreboards, two massive scoreboards, mm-hmm. not one. One on each end. You know, the complex is second to none. And, you know, our kids get excited about that. They, you know, we're in a great situation, you know, fortunately, with the facilities, with the building being only 5 or 6 years old. You know, we have state-of-the-art classrooms, state-of-the-art facility, and our kids take advantage of it. You know, they take advantage of it.
Coach, go back over your history a little bit. I mean, I know you coached three sports for so many years. You're not still doing that, are you?
No, I am. I am. It's
why do you think he has no voice?
Well, that was my second question, Kevin, because the first wrestling match I usually go to, Danny has no voice, you know? And I attribute that to the way he coaches on the sidelines because I've seen him. Always under control, but kind of crazy. Right, Demir?
Yes.
But still doing the three sports, huh?
Still doing the three sports. And really the reason being is it's simple for me. The track goes together with the football. And at the end of the day, you know, with our kids, if I wasn't coaching track, I really don't think they necessarily would be running track.
Right.
Then me being out there, you know, say, you know, coach is there every day, so I'm going to be there every day. and you can't survive
right.
against these competition unless you're training every day in the off season. And what better way than to run track or throw a shot put and be in the weight room? It's just so they marry together, and then the football and the wrestling go so well together. All my upper weights, I mean, four out of the six offensive linemen are all wrestlers, and you know, it's such defensive linemen are all wrestlers, so they work well together. They're battling, they're one on one, and I can't get enough of it.
Are you still on the beach in the summer too?
I run the beaches at Long Branch. All the kids work at the beach.
Of course they do.
Ticket takers or lifeguards. Long Branch is a great place.
I know.
Hey,
the
George family rules.
I don't need to go anywhere.
Demir, you know, I've seen all the highlights. You know, unfortunately, I haven't seen you in person yet, but I will. I promise you. But I've seen the highlights on our site, you know, Short Sports Network, shortsports.com. And I also have seen the pictures. Any more room for decals on the helmet? There's not too much more room, right? Tell me about that. Is there a ceremony, you know, for the decals or stuff? How do they work that at Long Branch?
Well, the night before the game, we all come together as a team, have a little pasta dinner, and we like, with the skulls and the stars, it's based on the stuff we do in the game.
Right.
And, like, we just recognize the good things people did in the game, and we get skulls and stars for it.
Well, you know where he got that from, the Buckeyes, right? A lot of Buckeyes
actually,
on the helmet, right?
A lot of, and I have to give credit where credit is due. The George Conte.
George Conte, I worked with George.
When I was at Ocean,
there you go.
He was my, one of my mentors, and the sheet is pretty much George's sheet.
Yeah.
We tweaked it a little bit, you know, to. As I tease him, modern day era with throwing the football. Not that we have done that much this year, but you know.
We only got another minute or so here, so I got to ask Demir about college. Thoughts? Have you talked to anyone? Are you thinking about it?
I haven't really talked to a lot of schools, but I definitely want to play college football.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a place for you.
Yeah, definitely.
By the way, Danny, I mean, I'd be remiss because you know I'm a Penn State guy. Yes. I mean, we got screwed on two calls last week. You had the refs in your pocket.
No
interception that hit the ground. A field goal. The clock ran out. You needed that to beat us in overtime. I mean,
no question.
Okay.
I thought we were done and buried, and then that kid in overtime.
Oh, he was.
He
stepped
came
up.
Alive. Right?
Stepped up big time.
Came alive.
Stepped up big time. Hey, and speaking of stepping up big time, it's been a big time fall for Long Branch so far. Six straight wins. At Neptune on Saturday, and then a week off to get ready for the playoffs, get everyone healthy, and make a run, and maybe bring a championship back to that school. How would that be a way to finish your career?
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, listen, it was great meeting you. Wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you.
Danny, what's about 2 days out of the year? The voice is great.
Yeah, about two.
Yeah.
Well, I have a teenage daughter, so really, that's,
there's no more days.
There's no more days.
You don't need to say any more, guys.
The guys coming to the door got to be scared of this guy.
There's enough Georges around to take care of that. We'll be back on the other side with the rest of our show. Want to thank the guys from Long Branch. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show at the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
And welcome back. Hour number two here on the Investors Bank High School Football Show. Brought to you, of course, by Investors Bank, and we're here at the Water Street Grill in downtown Toms River. Good first hour. Really enjoyed both segments with Point Beach coach John Wagner and his senior quarterback Jake Fioretti, and Long Branch coach Dan George and his senior running back, defensive back, Damir Willis, who's, like I said, you know, 1,800 yards rushing. He has a chance, should he stay healthy, and should the team go far, to break the Shore Conference single-season rushing record.
Matt McLean from Pinelands Regional.
Yeah, 4 years ago.
2,500 and so.
Which he did in 10 games, by the way, which is unbelievable. Yeah. But what a nice young man Damir is, and the same with Jake Fioretti. One of the reasons why we love doing this, we like to get a chance to talk to the kids. Our next guest is not a kid, and he's coming off a real tough loss last week in the Big South opener as Monmouth fell at Presbyterian in a defensive struggle for sure, 18-12. But the Hawks are home this Saturday with a chance to get that inaugural B-South win. Big South win when they host Charleston Southern. And we say, as always, welcome in the coach of the Monmouth Hawks, Kevin Callahan. And, Coach, little disappointment, I'm sure, on the trip last weekend with such a hard-fought game. Was it surprising that it was such a low-scoring defensive struggle? Did you kind of think that might be the case?
I thought that was going to be the case. If you remember, what I said on the call last week was that they were an outstanding defensive team and that we were going to be challenged offensively to be able to move the ball. And, you know, I thought we had been playing pretty good defense and we were going to be able to do a pretty good job against them. And it was a game that played out pretty much the way I thought. And, you know, we made the decision going into the game to go up on top early and try to get some points over the top. And we did just that on the game's first play. And, you know, we're up 6-0 on that at that point. And then from there, it kind of was a back-and-forth game with a lot of punts up until the last drive by Presbyterian before half when they were able to go down the field and get the ball in the end zone. But even at 7-6, we were behind at the half. I felt very confident that we were going to be in good shape in the game.
Yeah, Coach, you know, I listened to every agonizing minute of that second half, and it was a very tough defeat. I mean, you know, when you open up a new conference, of course you'd like to get that first W. You had your chances there. Now you face a team in Charleston Southern that comes in with a three-game losing streak, right?
Three-game losing streak, but one of them was to an SEC team, a 21-20 defeat at Vanderbilt, a 7-3 defeat with Presbyterian, and then a defeat at Coastal Carolina, which is, I think, without a question, probably the top team in the Big South right now. And so, you know, they had four wins early. They've lost three in a row, and I think that's probably good for us that they're kind of have had these consecutive losses, and hopefully we can capitalize on that. But what they bring with them, Ed, is a very multiple option attack. They run some veer. They run some trap option. They run some lead option. They run option any way you can do it out of the shotgun. And, you know, that concerns me a little bit because, as you know, playing an option team, not only do you have to be disciplined, but you have to be very good physically against the cut blocks that you don't see all the time. You have to get off the wide receiver blocks on the perimeter. Your edge run support and your force has to be exactly right every single time.
Yeah, it's assignment football, right?
It definitely is, but it's not only assignment football, but you better be physical in your assignment.
Reaction,
football.
Reaction. Correct. Yeah, right.
Coach, weather could be a little bit of a factor on Saturday. I guess we're still a little up in the air. We know the temperature is going to drop. Could be wet out there. It does not look like it's going to be an ideal fall day. We've had some nice weather this fall. Does that factor into the game at all? I mean, obviously it affects both teams, but you mentioned they're a multiple option team. If you've got some wet weather and stuff like that, we could see the football on the carpet a little bit.
Well, first of all, Kevin, as we all know, it never rains on Monmouth football. It's always a great day when Monmouth plays. And yeah, it's going to be a little sprinkles out there, I think. The latest forecast has some showers intermittently. The temperature is going to be 56 or 55. It's gone up since with the early week projections. But the wind is going to be a key thing. The wind is supposed to be howling 25 to 26 miles an hour, northeast wind. And that could have a major impact not only on the special teams but also on the ability to throw the ball. And when you put that in the context of the two teams, Charleston Southern, an option team, a run-based team who wants to keep the ball on the ground, Monmouth, a team that wants to be 50-50 and throw the ball at least half the time, that's a little bit of a concern for me.
Coach, give me maybe the top three differences between playing that non-conference schedule early and the Big South. Give me the top three. Where's the difference?
Number one, athleticism. Number two, physicality. Number three, teams that have played FBS competition, throughout the year. And all three of those things go toward the Big South. What we're seeing in the Big South is teams who play SEC teams on a regular basis, ACC teams on a regular basis. We see teams who are extremely athletic, teams who are very, very physical. And that's from one end to the other. And that's what we're trying to be at. We went down to Presbyterian, and in that game, and you said you watched it, how many missed tackles did you see? You didn't see any.
Not many.
They tackled, they put bodies on people, and they put them down. And that's the biggest difference, I think, where, in the five games leading up to it, I don't know if I would describe all of those five teams the same way as I would describe the Big South teams. The other thing is they all have these beautiful stadiums to play in, these great facilities, tremendous venues with thousands and thousands of people there watching. Mm-hmm. And so that is the biggest difference.
All right, I want to ask you about a player in particular, because Neil Sterling, your senior wide receiver out of Manasquan, is just having he's had a great career at Monmouth, and he's having a terrific season. He was big again for you last Saturday, 7 catches, 136 yards. Starting to hear a little talk, Coach, and you've been fortunate. You've had some players, especially in recent years, who've worked their way into the NFL. Some still there, some have had the chance. Is Neil Sterling a guy who now gets on the radar of NFL teams based on, he's healthy and he's had such a big season? He's such an impressive young man.
Well, I can tell you this, Kevin, that Monmouth is a place that is definitely on the NFL radar. It started with Miles Austin. It continued with John Albone. Chris Hogan, who's having a great year with the Buffalo Bills.
Jose Gomes,
who was with the Washington Redskins. All of these guys have put Monmouth on the NFL radar. Up to this point, we've had, I think, every NFL team in here at least once, and many of them on multiple occasions, to look at the guys on our roster. And the guy that they're looking at primarily is Neil Sterling. He has the numbers, he has the athleticism, he has the measurables, if you will, that they're looking for. And, you never know what's going to happen as it all plays out. But he is certainly somebody who's recognized. And I think that, that started back in 2005 with Miles Austin. And the guys that we recruit now know that they can come to Monmouth and get recognized by the NFL just as easily if they could if they were at an FBS school.
Well, Saturday, Charleston Southern heads here to West Long Branch to take on Monmouth. It's a home game. It's your next to last home game of the season.
Undefeated at home also this year.
So,
that's something we got to keep going.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, obviously you want to build on that, and especially for your seniors. You know, there's a feeling like there's not a lot left to, you know, play a game at home with the family tailgating in the parking lot and all that stuff. So we certainly hope that it's a good one on Saturday. Looking forward to seeing you up there and yelling first down Hawks about 30 times during the afternoon.
Well, I'd love to hear you say that 30 times as well.
All right. Coach, thanks for your time. As always, we'll see you on Saturday.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, so it's Charleston Southern at Monmouth. It's Saturday at 1. Of course, our own Matt Harmon along with Eddie Acapinti on the call. If you can't make it, 11:60 and 13, 10 a.m. and ShoreSportsNetwork.com.
You know, I was really honest with Kevin when I said agonizing over that
loss.
Yeah,
it was.
You know, it was just a to me, it, you know, if I had coached in that game, it was devastating because they had a chance to win that
Absolutely.
Game. I mean, they had a chance to win it. You know, it's unfortunate.
And to win your first
big South
game,
that's how important
And do it on the road
exactly.
and all that. You know,
exactly.
you just hope that that's the kind of thing that carries over and
exactly.
builds momentum.
I think it will. I think
it
will.
Because for Monmouth's situation, I think we all were kind of thinking that they could build a pretty good record in the non-conference schedule.
Which they did.
So now you get to these five big South games, you know, when you're saying, hey, you know what? You know, we'd like to win two, maybe three. You know, Coastal Carolina is going to be a beast. I mean, that's a team that maybe is head and shoulders better than anyone else. But last week was a game that I think everyone felt was a winnable game, and it was.
Mm-hmm.
Just couldn't get that. Couldn't do anything at the end, really, to just get that over the top.
Right. And Charleston Southern, three losses in a row.
Yeah.
That wears on a team.
Absolutely.
I know they were to good schools.
Yep.
I know Vanderbilt is a better program than probably both. You know, Monmouth
and
Charleston Southern. But, hey, three losses is three losses.
Absolutely.
You know?
We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll be joined by our guy, Scott Stump, as we continue on the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
Now, back to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and WOBMAM.com.
Well, it's the last segment each week, but it's my favorite, to be honest with you, to be able to talk high school football with Scott Stump of our own Shore Sports Network. I look forward to it every week, and I know you do as well. Matt does when he's here, but, of course, Matt on special assignment.
You know, when I have a question about something that went on or something that's going to happen, this is the guy I go to. He knows everything.
You'd think, as much as he knows, that he would be clearly the leader in the Gold Coast Cadillac football picks.
Yeah, I can't help him there.
ShoreSportsNetwork.com.
I can't help him there.
But the leader, the clear leader, although he's got a little competition, is our own Ed Sarluka. I'm in last place. But here is the... our main guy, Scott Stump. Stumpy, how are you tonight?
I'm good. I think what it is, maybe I'm overthinking it, because whenever I send the picks out, Ed is the first one to respond in usually about five minutes, and he's been on fire all year.
I know.
By the way, Scott, I just want you to know that I do play fantasy football, and I put up over 300 points last week. My son and I are partners, which was the all-time in 25 years of the league, the best score ever. So it's no fluke this year. I'm doing it on all phases.
Because my wife is a fantasy football superstar who beat the whole Raritan football staff last year and is right in it again this year. So might have to get her into your league.
Okay.
Again, proving, Scott, that knowledge doesn't, you know, sometimes it's luck is more important than knowledge, because obviously Ed and your wife, neither of them know anything. Okay. All right. So, anyway, we're at the final. Tomorrow's the end of October. Saturday starts November. I mean, the weather's going to cool off. I mean, fall will turn to winter before you know it. Now we really are at that time of year, as Ed said earlier. You know, teams are starting to clinch ties or shares of conference championships. And one of the big ones this weekend is the little schools, as Point Beach heads to Shore in what's become an outstanding rivalry over the last few years.
Absolutely. I mean, this is the game that's decided the B Central title. 2 years ago was Point Beach winning their first division title since 1997. Last year, Shore gets them back, and then Beach wins their first state title at Shore's expense. So, yeah, this has really developed into a great rivalry. Two physical, wing-T, tough defensive teams. And the good thing is they're both at full power, which I like. You know, Joe Wagriniak from Point Beach had missed the last two games with an injury. He's their big fullback linebacker. And then, you know, you have Doug Goldsmith from Shore. He's back in the lineup for the third game since he missed four games to start the year. So, you know, it's always fun when these guys go at it. And usually it just comes down to the little things, you know, who takes care of the ball best and which offensive line is going to exert its will.
Well, if that's the big game among what we'll call the little schools, the big game among the big schools is in Class A North, where the two division leaders meet head-to-head. It's the only matchup of teams in your top ten this week. Number 2 Manalapan at number 6 Freehold on Saturday.
Yeah, that's going to be a great game. I mean, that's Manalapan trying to win their fifth straight A North title. Freehold Borough, the upstart, you know, they're trying in their first year in A North after being in B North last year. I think the main question everyone's wondering, you know, is this Freehold Borough team for real? You know, this is their first major test against a top 10 team, and it's a team that's going to be ready to come out and play hard, given they're coming off that tough 35-7 loss to RBC. So Manalapan will be looking to reassert itself atop that division. And Freehold Borough has Josh Dixon, who's had a tremendous season, over 1,100 yards rushing, and their great junior quarterback, Jake Curry, also having a good year. The fun little subplot in that one, Imamu Mayfield, the standout tailback from Manalapan, senior, is a Freehold Borough transfer. So there was a chance he and Dixon could have been in the same backfield, but Mayfield left Freehold after his sophomore year to go to Manalapan, so the two old friends will be facing off. That to me is really a question of how good is Freehold. You know, if Freehold comes out and beats them, you really start to have to think in Central Jersey Group 4 that they're a really serious contender against Brick and Jackson Memorial and teams like that. And this is the defining stretch for Freehold, because they have Manalapan this week, followed by Middletown South next week. And the winner of this game clinches at least a tie for the A North title.
How about our game of the week tomorrow night? Takes us to Toms River North against Brick, where Brick could clinch at least a tie. What North team shows up? Because they've been Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde this year.
Right, yeah. I mean, their offense has been either dominating with 500 yards on the ground, unstoppable, or struggled in games like their loss to Jackson Memorial and Brick Memorial. So you're right. I mean, but I think that's going to happen with a young team, you know, a sophomore quarterback, junior tailback, a lot of, but they seem to be putting it together at the right time. And that's a fierce rivalry between these two teams. We know, you know, Carmen Sclafani came over from Toms River North before last season. And actually the game them last year was the game that Sclafani got hurt and missed a couple weeks. And it was a closer game than people thought it would be. I think that's just going to be a physical, all-out game. Two great dual-threat quarterbacks in Mike Husney and Sclafani. It's really going to, you know, it's certainly the type of game that could escalate into a shootout. But you're right, the question is, will that Toms River North ground game do it against a high-caliber opponent like Brick?
And also, I'd like to mention another one, Scott, and that would be Barnegat and Lakewood in the B-South.
Yeah, the B-South is still crazy. I mean, five of the six divisions could be all but decided this weekend, but B-South still got that crazy four-way tie. So the Barnegat-Lakewood game, for Barnegat, the win would be huge, because then they would only have to beat Pinelands on Thanksgiving to get at least a share of the title, maybe all of it, depending on how everything else shakes out. And conversely, if Lakewood wins, they have to then beat Point Borough next week to get at least a piece of the title for their end. And then you have Jackson Liberty playing Point Borough tomorrow night in another key game that will affect things. Central plays winless Donovan Catholic this week. But so if they win their game next week against Jackson Liberty, then becomes a huge game. So still a lot of things going on. But Barnegat can really put itself in the driver's seat with a win at home against Lakewood.
Another interesting game I find Scott, and that is in Class A South, Brick Memorial versus Toms River South on Saturday at the home of the Mustangs. Neither team factors into the division race, but Toms River South, a team that had such high expectations in early September, is battling to have even a chance to get into the playoffs.
Right. I was listening to the show earlier, and as Ed said, you know, I think a lot of people would have been a little surprised to see them, you know, at this point, at this part of the season, but it's back against the wall time for them. I mean, they have Brick Memorial this week and Brick next week, and they have to get probably at least one of them to have a shot to even qualify for the state playoffs. So, you know, you're going to get their best, but the question is, they really struggled against good running games, and, you know, certainly Brick Memorial has one of those with quarterback Tim Santiago, the fullback Connor Owen. So, you know, are they going to be able to get stops against Memorial? You know they're going to score with Tymir Barry and Khalil Green, but can they stop Memorial from controlling the clock and controlling the game with long, sustained drives with their running game? That's the main question.
And then throw in the weather factor, which could be a major contributing factor in that game.
Yeah, I mean, especially knowing the explosiveness of Barry and Green, I mean, Brick Memorial might be out there with the hoses while it's raining before the game, muddying up the field nicely to slow that operation down. So you're right. I mean, if the field conditions reduce the quickness of Toms River South, that only benefits Brick Memorial.
That is Scott Stump from ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Great stuff on the site right now. Scott's one of my favorites. He does each week the fifth down, in which had a lot of good stuff on Demir Willis, who was one of our guests tonight and is having just a season for the ages. Scott?
I was just going to say, Scott, what a nice-looking and nice, well-spoken young man Demir Willis is. You know, very humble and appreciative of what's going on in his life right now.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I'm just hoping someone finally gives this kid a shot. I know Wagner's kind of looked at him, but he hasn't really gotten any offers yet. Somebody give him an offer. He will definitely help your program.
Yeah, he's put up serious numbers. Scott, thanks so much. Talk to you over the weekend. Always a pleasure.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a great weekend, and happy Halloween.
All right. Same to you. Scott Stump from Shore Sports Network. I want to thank our guests tonight, Ed. Of course, John Wagner and Jake Fioretti from Point Beach. Dan George and Demir Willis from Long Branch, Monmouth University head coach Kevin Callahan, and of course Scott Stump, Tom Trembley here as always.
What are you dressing up as tomorrow, Kev?
Stressed out middle-aged human being.
It's normal attire then.
Normal attire. Thanks to Harrison Stevens as well for doing a great job back at the home of the Shore Sports Network. The Jersey Mike's game of the week tomorrow. It'll be Brick at Toms River North. You can hear it here at 7. Good night, everyone.
This has been the Investors Bank High School Football Show at the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River on News Talk Radio, WOBM, AM 1160 and 1310, and ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Tonight's show was presented by Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Join us again next week. And for a complete look at Shore Conference football anytime, visit ShoreSportsNetwork.com.